Welcome to Overshare, a podcast and event series where we have honest conversations about the tough shit creatives don't publicly talk about often enough. We cover topics like creative insecurity, career failures, and how not to become a total douchebag when you finally gain some notoriety. Our goal is to get to know the creative industry beyond the highlights of portfolios and Instagram feeds, and to better understand the ups and, more importantly, the downs of what it takes to get there. Struggles we can all relate to, even if we haven't reached all-star status quite yet. Overshare was created by Working Not Working, an invite-only community that connects companies with the universe's most respected, most awarded, and hardest-working creatives in advertising, design, production, and tech. Companies like Apple, Airbnb, Droga5, and the New York Times use Working Not Working to discover and hire talent for freelance and full-time gigs. Learn more at workingnotworking.com. Have a few beers so we sound smarter and funnier. You're kind of notorious for being honest, which is good because you're a New Yorker. Hey, I'm Justin Genak, co-founder of Working Not Working. So this was the second in our Overshare series. We did it in a dive bar on a Friday afternoon on 14th Street here in New York City. It was a rainy afternoon. John was late. He almost missed it because he got stuck in traffic on the West Side Highway. So you get for leaving the city. When we first came up with the idea to do Overshare, John was the first person to come to mind. We were like, who's going to be more honest than John Contino? He doesn't hold back in his work. He doesn't hold back in his opinions. He doesn't hold back on his Twitter feed or in his love for the New York Yankees. And I just knew if we can get him in front of a microphone, get him in front of a crowd, we'd have something interesting and pretty special. So we dove into a lot of stuff. We talked about the difference between inspiration and copying, which is a big point of contention for John. We also talked about, like, do you lose your edge when you leave New York and move to the suburbs and have a kid? And also, do you ever take a vacation? And he said yes, and luckily his wife Erin was in the audience, and she was the perfect lie detector test to call bullshit on his bullshit. And that reminds me, there's a lot of cursing in this one. It's impossible for John not to curse. As he says, curse words are normal words. So if you have kids around, make them use earmuffs. It was a pretty amazing day and a great conversation, and I hope you enjoy as much as I did. Well, anyway, welcome, John. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me.
I'm going to start off, like, we're going to get real here, but I'm going to start off with some quick questions just to, like, get things flowing.
Sure. Right?
Favorite curse word? We're going to start there.
Now, where I come from, there's no such thing as curse words because they're just regular words.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I like it.
So, like, normally for professional events, I try to keep those regular words to a minimum. I understand that we're underground right now.
Yeah.
So I'll be a little bit more free this time around. But you can't say a sentence without saying fuck every other word. You know? So I don't know if it's a curse word or if it's more of just like a flavor.
Yeah.
You know? But
it's a spice.
Yeah. So yeah, it's like, God forbid you start talking about anything. Yeah. You're like, well, this fucking guy did this, and then you wouldn't believe what the fuck he did with this fucking thing. And it's just this fucking thing, fucking this and fucking that. So, like, I don't even know if you could consider that a curse word. A curse word to me, I don't know. It's like, I mean, it would have to get really nasty. Like, I don't know, church.
All right, there we go. That's a good one. All right. Let's just start, when we kind of all know this, but where are you from?
I'm from here.
From here. Where do you live now?
Here.
Well, kind
of. No, I live upstate now.
Okay.
I live upstate now.
The next question is why?
Because I have a daughter. I don't know. She's got grass and stuff.
Yeah. You know? you let her roam around.
Yeah. It's just like she's not gonna see anybody peeing on the street like five blocks away, you know? Like she's good. She's good.
Okay, good.
Yeah, she's all right.
I know the answer to this already. Also, Mets or Yankees?
Oh, that's the Yankees.
Okay, yeah, of course.
Obviously.
Favorite Yankee in your lifetime?
Favorite in my lifetime? Oh man, I love me some Donnie Baseball, but okay. He never won a World Series, so can he really be the favorite?
I mean, he could. He's not a dick like Jeter.
Mariano.
All right, Mariano. Okay, good. We're gonna go to some real questions now. How did you get into being a designer?
I started when I was a kid. Yeah. I was really, really young. I used to just draw all the time, and you know, I was always drawing, you know, baseball logos, movie posters, whatever, like all the time on every notebook, everything. And then as I got older, I started getting obsessed with little kids who did graffiti. Yeah. And I sucked at graffiti, but I tried, you know, because I loved like the lettering on the walls and all that kind of stuff. And
did you have a tag?
Definitely had a few, but I don't remember because it never saw the light of day because it sucked. And it was just like, you know.
Okay.
You know, by the time I was in my early teens, I started playing in hardcore bands. I mean, that's as DIYs you can get. Uh-huh. So all of a sudden, like all this like skill that I had as like a drawing person mm-hmm. started to come to fruition. I was like, oh, I could use this. I could make a logo. I could do this. I could do that.
Yeah.
I could do that.
Out of necessity.
Yeah. And so I started doing that. And around that time too is when internet stuff started kind of coming around. So I taught myself how to web design, mm-hmm. and I started getting jobs when I was like 13 years old doing web stuff because it was like right around .com boom and stuff.
Yeah.
So. You know, I'm 33 and change now, so I've been working for 20 years. Because yeah. I was working pretty consistently all through high school,
yeah.
all through college, just as...
So you were getting paid jobs at
13? I was. Yeah, I was. My first website job was $400. When I got paid for that job, I was like, my life is going to be so easy. This is a piece of cake.
No, but that's cool. Like, I feel like people would be psyched to get $400 for website design right now.
Yeah.
It's learn to code, kids. Learn to code. Yeah.
But when you're like 13 or 14, $400 less, like all of high school.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly.
So I was good.
Like so many baseball cards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, did you have creative people around you when you were growing up?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like my mom was an incredible artist. She's so good. And she never got to pursue it. But like my grandmother's an artist. Her brothers were communication artists. So like before graphic design was like a term, they used to do that.
Yep.
I got like family that goes back all the way to the old country that were doing it and stuff. There's
so
one guy.
Blood.
Yeah, there's one guy, Vincenzo Buscellano is my great uncle from the late 1800s. And you could actually look him up on Google. His paintings are ridiculous. They're just so good, and I've been trying to track one down forever. But yeah, there's definitely a lot. My dad's a carpenter too, and he's like one of those guys, like spatial type of thing. So there's definitely a lot of that surrounding me. So when I started to draw, it was very easy for them to just kind of like let me do it, as opposed to I didn't get the lecture of like, well, you should be an accountant, or you should do this, you should do something that's going to make you money, because they're like, do what you want, because you know, whatever.
Because it's more important to be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It worked out.
Now, have you always and you said like with your playing in bands and shit like. Have you always been analog with your style?
Yes and no. Around the time when like I discovered Photoshop, uh-huh. I was just like, nothing could possibly be better than this bevel with this lens flare coming over.
Really?
Yeah, it was like, it's so sick. Like,
I can't believe that would ever come out of your
bevel
mouth.
On top of bevel. I mean, well, don't get me wrong. Like
the drop shadow.
The bevels on the lens flare were still over like blood dripping text.
Okay, good.
So, but
I would just love to see you like not allowed to hand do anything and just only use like Illustrator and bevels.
It would look like a subway map.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, right. It would just be like big Helvetica and just like a little round circle here and then like a line this way. That's what it would look like.
I have this thing in my head, like, so my next question is, do you have a secret alias where you just make super glossy photoreal app icons and post them on Dribbble?
Well, a few years ago, some of you guys might be familiar with this, but there was a designer's message board called Yay Hooray.
Okay.
And it was around the time of like the like Web 2.0 stuff. I did this one thing where a lot of people were making like shiny glossy icons.
Yeah.
And I did one. I don't know if I started a thread or I did something where we were just like making shiny glossy icons, just being obnoxious about it.
Uh-huh.
And since I started it and like a couple of blogs posted it, I went in and edited every single post to be like, for more like this, email John Conti, blah, blah, blah. And I made like $2,000 or $3,000 off of stupid people who wanted like shiny Web 2.0 icons.
So you actually did so?
Yeah, I did.
Holy shit. I want to see those in your portfolio now. That would be amazing. I was joking, but you really are doing that.
No, okay, man, great. I've been through the ringer.
I got it for all.
Don't worry.
Holy shit. Okay, so now your style obviously is pretty well known. I want to know what's the difference between inspiration and copying.
Don't get me started, man.
That's what we're here for. We're getting you started.
Oh, you're gonna cause problems.
Yeah, let's do it.
Inspiration and copying. Well, everybody starts copying, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I started copying. That's how it happens. But the only difference is that when I started copying, there was no social network for people to know that I was copying.
Yeah.
So I would fucking copy away and just like rip off everything and be like, I'm so sick. And then, but then like no one would know.
Right.
Because it would just be on the back of a notebook or like
it's not
some
your portfolio.
Yeah, like a floppy disk or something like that.
Yeah.
And by the time a zip drive. By the time I was actually ready to start putting things out there, I had already had like a bunch of years under my belt and I was already like, I need to identify me as an artist, you know?
Yeah.
So I passed that. With copying nowadays, I don't think kids know the difference between inspiration and copying. If they get called out on it, they get all sad and bent out of shape about it. You know, I'm not copying. Nothing's new. You know, like no one's inventing anything. You're just rehashing old ideas. It's like, whatever, dude. Like, if nothing was new, we wouldn't have iPhones, we wouldn't have cars, we wouldn't have TVs, you know, like, we wouldn't have, like, rocket ships.
Yeah.
Like, sure, everything's based on another idea, yeah. But, like...
It's an evolution.
Yeah, it's an evolution.
Adding your own twist.
You take in, you absorb things, and yeah. You put your own personality into it, and you turn it into something that's your own, and that yeah. Is new in a way. Like, you're not talking like I'm, here's my lettering, and then the next step up is some, like, crazy alien, like, language. It's like, it can't evolve that way. That's yeah. Not how evolution works. Like, right. You see something you like, you're like, I like how he did that. I'm going to take that, and I'm going to put this into mine. But when you put it through your own filter, it shouldn't come out looking exactly the same.
Right.
And there shouldn't be, like, exact, like markings, like denoting that, like where you're taking it from.
Is that where the biggest issue is? If you can go and say like, hey, I'm gonna lay my like NY logo over and someone has the same swoosh and shit.
Yeah, it's the same
when
thing.
When it's that close, it's like, all
when
right,
it's
maybe.
Like you're copying the content or the context,
right.
Then it's just like, well, you're obviously stealing, like even though the colors are different, like the context and the time period, like especially with social media, you know when people are taking something because it's like, oh, look, I posted this this thing, like, February 10th,
yeah.
And then, like, someone else is like, look what I just invented on fucking March 6th.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, all right, well, I know that you follow me. I know that you looked at it, because, yeah. Oh, I like this.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
Like, 2 weeks later, you're just like, oh, look what I just did on my own with no, like,
nothing,
you know, influencing that in any yeah. Way. And I don't have a problem with that, but it's just like, because I think copying people is a good way to learn.
Yeah.
The best way to do anything, and, like, any tattoo artist will tell you, too, when you're sitting there, you get out the old flashbooks and
yeah,
you just trace.
All, yeah.
That's all you do. You just trace just to get the feel, learn what it's like to live in someone else's shoes so that you can then use your whole person experience,
yeah.
You know, as a human being.
But
to
it helps you with the craft at
out.
Least.
Yeah.
Like, all right, well, like,
yeah.
This is what works.
Right.
And that's where it's kind of interesting too, where you go and even if you're in doing digital design,
right.
Taking someone else's website and like, all right, can I try to remake this just so I can learn how to make those things?
Exactly.
And then
exactly.
Say, all right, now I know how to use those tools. Now I'm going to make my own shit.
It's the only way to learn. You just get something and you just try to recreate it. And then you take those life experiences and you put it towards your own.
Well, I think there's an issue though, like you were saying, like you were kind of maybe fortunate that you didn't grow up in the social media
yeah,
time because
totally.
Like you probably would have been psyched about that shit you were copying and put it out there. So like, is there a pass for young designers or is there a, like how do we check people without like you know try to crush them?
I would say that there is a pass if I didn't meet young designers who were against it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like if it was a generation that came up and that's just what they know, it's one thing. But when you talk to other young designers who are as young or younger than some of these other people that do it, and they're like, no, I do that, but I'm not going to share it because that's not right.
Yeah.
Then it's just like, well, why doesn't everybody else know this? Can you like hold a press conference with your people and let them know?
With your people.
Yeah.
Can you just like have a millennial press conference and yeah, just do it?
So no, I don't think you get a pass. I think they use it as an excuse. And I think especially nowadays where it's like, if you take someone who's doing something that's relatively well known, and you copy it and you put it there and then you replicate it like 6,000 times and you
yeah.
Boost up your follower count to 450,000 people or whatever. And you're yeah. Just like, look at how awesome I am.
Yeah.
But it's 1,000 posts of a practice,
yeah.
You know, and you're getting, you're, it's more of a disservice to yourself too, because all of that practice, you're not spending the time trying to figure out where you belong and what's going to make you unique.
Plus the whole difference between fitting in and belonging.
Right, yeah,
it's
right,
like
exactly.
You're spending your whole time trying to do what you think other people are going to like and what's going to get you the most likes and the most followers
right.
Instead of just being yourself and being accepted for that. And it's like, right. and I think it's a hard thing, especially maybe for all of us, like to know what that threshold is of when you're
yeah.
Trying too hard or when you're trying to do shit for people like you. Like, you have, what, 58,000 Instagram followers?
Something like that.
Do you feel like you're doing stuff at any point now that you have an audience? Like, are you doing stuff for the audience or are you
no.
Doing stuff for yourself?
You know why it pisses me off, too? Is because with 58,000 followers, right, I'm like, oh, man, look at me. I'm popular on the internet. But then you see people who have, like, 6 times as much as I do, and they're half my age, and they're just copying what I do.
Yeah.
Like, verbatim.
Yeah.
And there's just so many people just like, you're such a visionary, and this and that. Not that I am, but, like, the fact that it's just like, well, I know you're stealing from me,
yeah.
So if anyone should be getting those compliments, it should be me. And I know I shouldn't be getting those compliments, because I got it from somewhere else, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just like, and you know that those people who are commenting and following and all that type
yeah.
Of stuff, I mean, they don't really mean anything in the long run. Like, you don't have, like, every, like, ad exec Like, you know, it's not 100,000 ad execs. Like, they're like, you're
by
so
way,
amazing.
Ad execs aren't shit either.
Right.
That
yeah,
was
right.
one. Yeah. Yeah. But all right. So if so many people are copying your style, why don't you just come up with a new one?
Okay. It's at this. So in the past few years, it's gotten to the point where there's been so many copycats where I've tried to.
You call them out.
Start. Yeah, I do and I don't. Like, sometimes like, you just get sick
do.
Of it.
Other people do.
Yeah, other
for
people
you
do
now,
it too.
Yeah.
Some people yeah. cry babies. Other people apologize. Other people are like, oh, I never heard of you. And meanwhile, it's just like the last like 40 posts like are exact things of mine.
Yeah.
You know, this I mean, coincidence. Sure, why not? Yeah, all right, yeah. You can have it. But like, it's I want to evolve, but it's not something you can just do overnight. So I've been trying to evolve over the past couple of years because as soon as this whole thing became popular, which is something I've been trying to sell for like, I don't know, 15 years.
Yeah.
Like I was doing hand lettering and illustration like this for so long.
Nobody wanted it. Yeah.
Nobody wanted it. I couldn't give it away.
Yeah.
I literally couldn't give it away. Like I would be like, here, you guys want this design for free? And like, nah, no thanks. Like I could not give them away.
Yeah.
And then by the time like this like whole like handcrafted bullshit became popular, I already knew it was on its way out. And
can
I'm just
someone
like,
tweet that? Yeah.
Can I complain about handcrafted?
Yeah, let's do it.
Does anybody is everybody kind of on board with this like handcrafted is bullshit?
Yeah, yeah.
Do we all realize that this is bullshit?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about handcrafted. When we started CXXVI, right, yeah. There wasn't a lot of things that said handcrafted on it.
Right.
But we didn't have any money.
Yeah.
And we were like, we need to buy Christmas presents for our families, so yeah. How are we going to do this?
Yeah.
So we had a client that we were printing t-shirts for.
Yeah.
We kind of charged them a little extra and ordered a couple more t-shirts and just put some designs on there. And just like,
yeah.
Maybe we get on a blog and sell like five of them and,
yeah.
You know, like afford like I don't know, like a DVD or something, uh-huh. You know? So we did that. And then it kind of became a little popular, you know, like it a couple of good blogs picked it up and they're like, oh, when's the next season? We're like, next season of what? You know? But we were just like, okay, we can't keep up with demand of being a real company. So what are we going to do? How are we going to differentiate ourselves? Yeah. Well, we weren't that good at screen printing. So we have that. We didn't have any money. So there's that.
Yeah.
There was only two of us. So there's that.
Yeah.
And it's just like our designs were questionable.
Yeah.
You know? So what do we do about that? Well, let's see. We'll take our designs and we'll screen print them onto shirts and the screen prints will be pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
So each one is unique.
Yeah.
You get a special shirt.
Yeah, limited edition.
Limited edition. Yeah. One of one.
Yeah.
You get a different, you know, comes with a hang tag that we stamped with our hands and wrote on it. And it doesn't mean nothing because it did create like a special story for the brand.
Yeah.
But it's also just like, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, we just wrote like handcrafted, hand this, hand that. We did it by hand. We did it by hand because we couldn't afford not to.
Yeah.
You know, like that's just what we had to do.
But it's also just embracing your limitations.
Yeah.
I think so many people, like a lot of times myself, I'm like, I want to do something, but I can't do it the right way because I don't have this and this and this. And it's just like, well, fuck it. Like, well, you know, this was printed at Kinko's or it's not even Kinko's anymore. FedEx Kinko's.
Right.
Like, most of our design for all of our parties is just black and white printouts because we don't want to spend more than $2 on a print. Like, that's it. And people are like, oh, that's cool. It looks cool. It's cool. And I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just cheap and we don't have any money because we're two guys starting a business. And that's the same thing. And it's like, but then like, if you can lean into those things that are your limitations, you can start to like work within them. And like those parameters sometimes are exciting and are interesting because you're just like, what kind of shit can we make with like not $1 million budget?
Well, what happens is you take the bullshit and you actually turn it into something because you're just like, I have limited resources. So what am I going to do to make these limited resources seem better than they actually are?
Yeah.
You know, so you kind of give it a little bit more of a personal touch, and especially in the world we live in with all this technology, like people miss like hands-on. Like I don't remember the last time I saw like this many people in a room because I just like sit at my desk and I just work and you know, there's my wife and my daughter and that's like it.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just like I don't have to be in front of anyone or do anything just because everything's email or Skype or this or that. So it's like I think people crave a little bit of like human nature and mistakes and things that machines can't give you.
Well, I think mistakes are a hard thing, I think, at least for me to accept. I'm kind of a perfectionist.
Yeah,
and,
totally.
And I think maybe many of us are. So like, it seems like you seem to embrace your mistakes a lot and play into that.
Well, then it also goes the opposite direction too, because as soon as you start embracing the mistakes, then you're just like, this has to be perfectly fucked up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, this.
And then you have your daughter come in and be like, all right, honey, what would you add to this? And she scribbles on, and you're like, perfect.
I'm not even joking. Yeah. She's three, and I'm always just like, which one do you like? She's like, this one. I'm like, done. Here you go, AT&T.
That's amazing. I don't even know what questions I have now. You have your daughter, three-year-old daughter, focus group stuff for multinational billion-dollar brands. Okay, that's fucking great. Okay, what happens when brands rip you off?
There's one that was recent. We went to, my wife and I went to the Levi's store. Uh-huh. And I'm walking, and you know, like, after all these years of this kind of shit, like, my eye is never looking at the actual clothes. It's always wandering to see if something's going on.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're walking through, and there's like a stack of t-shirts, and I'm like this, like right away, my head just like flips in one direction. And 9 times out of 10, it's not that. It's just me being paranoid. I'm just like, I have to protect myself, you know? Yeah. But this one was a ripoff.
Yeah.
I walk in there, I'm like, this fucking, look at this. I'm like causing a thing, and everyone's like, what's this guy's problem? You know? And I'm like, Aaron, get over here, take a picture of this. I'm going to stand, look at this, you know? And nobody cares. Yeah. And then I like post it on Twitter, and Twitter is different. It's like a different world now. Like, it used to be really good for calling out people, but it seems like very splintered now.
It's not mobby as much.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just like the whole mob mentality. It was good when I needed it.
Yeah.
Because like when the bigger brand, like Forever 21s and those types of brands would actually like steal, like really legitimately steal.
Yeah.
It gave me enough ammo.
Yeah.
But at these days too, I'm just like, I'm tired, man. Like, I'm a dad. I got a mortgage. Like, it's one t-shirt that no one's going to buy.
Yeah.
You know, like, and if they do, it's like, whatever. And I have people that I work with now where it's just like, you take care of this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm done.
It's kind of like good to not give a shit.
Yeah. I mean, what am I going to do, right?
Like, you're paying your mortgage.
Yeah.
So it's
fine. And it looks like, if you put the original next to the copy, like, copy looks like crap.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, if you want to walk around with crappy t-shirt, you walk around with crappy t-shirt. Go ahead, I don't care. It's not my t-shirt, you know?
I was going to ask you if you've lost your edge now that you've had a kid, but I don't think that's true.
It's probably made it worse because I have a daughter.
Yeah?
You know?
So now you're super protective?
I'm just like waiting to knife like a 14-year-old kid, you know? Like the first boy she brings home, I can't wait because I'm locking him in the basement and I'm just going to like call his parents to come pick him up because he's not allowed upstairs.
Wow. I love that the like you're already on like the police radar for that.
I'm ready, dude. I'm ready.
It's like Minority Report pre-crime. All right, how about not living in New York City anymore? Do you feel like it's like lost your edge a little bit?
I miss it. I think New York has lost its edge, so it's it's not the same, you know? Like, I remember when I was a kid and I used to like come into the city and stuff. We'd go through like Times Square and everything. And I'd be like, oh man, how many X's can you count on that sign? You know, like it's different. So it's like, I miss it because I love the city so much. I mean, like when I lived in Greenpoint, it took me 45 minutes to get into Manhattan anyway.
Right.
You know,
same
so
difference.
The G train, I would just sit in that subway stop for like an hour and a half. So.
That's how most people got here. Yeah. That's good. All right, so now that you're in the burbs in nature, are there animals or bugs up there that you're afraid of?
Yeah, every single one.
Really?
Every single one. So let me tell you, I got where my house is, there's like this big field behind us. So there's coyotes, there's bears, there's foxes. I don't know what the plural of fox is. Is it foxes?
Foxes, I think so.
Foxes. But there's also like, you got your squirrels and your raccoons and your bunny rabbits and stuff, but fucking bunny rabbits, man, you never expect them. They just like hop out of nowhere. Right. You just don't know what they're up to.
Fucking bunny rabbits, you'll never, if someone tweet that, okay, good. Yeah.
There's also, where we live too, there's this farm that has these retired circus and performing animals. So if you go like a mile down the road, there's peacocks, there's camels, there's zebras, there's elephants, and apparently there's a monkey in there. I haven't seen it,
okay,
but I heard there's monkey in there.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm scared of those animals, too.
Like, now, it's probably pretty quiet up there.
Yes. Oh, definitely quiet.
See, for me, I'm terrified whenever I go to the suburbs or nature because it's quiet.
Yeah.
And I just feel like that's where serial killers live. And they jump
out.
They jump out of the woods and try to like stab you or shoot you in your car. So are you scared of the quiet? Or are you used to it now?
I kind of got used to it. When we moved up there, it was right before Hurricane Sandy.
Okay.
And our power went out too, and all the trees fell down and all that kind of stuff too. But my wife was pregnant then, and since our power went out, I didn't know, because I grew up with city water, that the well doesn't work when there's no power.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, all right, so if I have to use the bathroom, I'll go outside.
Yeah.
You ever go outside at 2 a.m. and, like, being like a city guy, 2 a.m. in the woods, like, to take a leak? You know what I mean? Like, feeling so vulnerable. Like, I don't know, like, if they...
You
know,
I like how you assume all the animals are waiting to pounce on you. Or like, it's like, Stand By Me, and there's just leeches waiting to jump on you.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I went out there, I had, like, one of those headlamps.
Did you really?
Yeah, I had a headlamp.
How do you own one of those?
I don't. Like, my wife's cousin, like, let us borrow it.
Okay.
Right? Here, take a headlamp, because you don't have any other lights.
Okay.
So I took the headlamp and put it on, and instead of just like peeing anywhere like 5 feet close to the house, which wouldn't have mattered in a million years because it was pouring, I go all the way to the fields and I go like right up against it, so all I'm seeing is like Blair Witch Project light. And then I'm just like unzip and I'm like, oh my god.
You realize it's your house, you can pee right on it if you want to.
I know. As like I'm just like, this is my house, I bought this, I'm not gonna piss on it, you know what I mean?
I don't even know how to transition out of that. Okay, we're gonna get back to the creative stuff. How do you deal with creative insecurity?
Creative insecurity. I feel like I work so much that point in time has gone bye-bye.
Uh-huh.
Like, I feel like I've run out of ideas all the time, and I feel like everything like plateaus and blah, blah, blah. But I always know it'll come around, and I know that I picked this as a lifestyle, and that as much as I work, it's almost become very robotic to me. Mm-hmm. So even like the lack of creativity, I still know there's always like a reserve there. So if I could tap into the reserve and just get it going, then things start flowing again, usually.
Well, how do you do that when you're like, oh, shit, I'm fucking stuck, and I have a deadline tomorrow?
The best way to do it is, like, I just go back to the well. What's easy that I know that I can reproduce of mine that I can change enough to be unique, right?
So you can
if it's
yourself.
Lettering, it's easy. Yeah. Because it's just like, well, the words aren't going to be the same.
Right.
So I'll just do the same style of lettering and whatever. And I just to get my brain flowing, you know?
Okay.
But it's like, I feel like the problem is just thinking about it. Once you actually start working, then you stop thinking about it and you just start doing. Mm-hmm. And then as you start doing, you're like, oh, I could do this over here. I could do this over here. And then, you know, the motors get moving and you start thinking normally again. So sometimes it takes a day. Sometimes it takes a week. Sometimes it takes like 4 months.
Yeah.
But it always comes back. If it didn't come back, I think you would be like some kind of science experiment, because I feel like you are wired to be a creative person.
Right.
If you hit a wall, that's natural. You know, it's a natural to hit the wall.
Yeah.
But if you hit a wall and it never comes back, like, you should probably be studied. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's like, you don't stop breathing, you know, unless you die.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you're always breathing. You're always doing these things that it's just like a bodily function that's unique to you.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you feel like there's a challenge being by yourself in the woods making compared to, like, do you miss being around other creatives?
I was terrified of that.
Yeah.
I was like, if I'm out of the city, this is going to shut me down.
Yeah.
But luckily for me, I have a very creative wife who keeps me in line. And when I feel like I'm either maybe starting to lose something, whatever, she'll just say a couple things and it kind of kicks me back into gear. And like, I'm really not that far. Like, all of my neighbors are city transplants. They're all FDNY.
Right.
Like, it doesn't feel like I'm like, if I moved to like Omaha, I would be like, this is not me.
Yeah.
But it's still like, everyone's like a commuter where I live, so it's not really it's no different from where I grew up.
Yeah.
You know?
That's good. Do you feel you have something to prove?
Always.
Really?
Always, always. I can't live unless I have a chip on my shoulder. Like, I have to just be up. It's really hard for me to make friends in the world of graphic design, because even this guy will tell you over here. Like, it's so hard to compete against your friends. You know, like, I definitely have a few friends, but it's so hard, especially for me. Like, I'm so ultra competitive.
Yeah.
Like, we'll make friends, and then all of a sudden, like, the guy who I'm making friends with is starting to do a little bit more black and white lettering. All of a sudden, he's not my friend anymore. You know?
How about people that aren't doing anything like you? Like, you know, like.
That's a little easier.
Okay.
That's a little, like, if someone was just like, I'm a photographer, I'm like, oh, we could be best buddies.
Yeah.
You know, like, as soon as it, like, kind of steps into my world, like, it's like a do or die for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I try not to let that out, but I feel like people could probably read it on my face.
Yeah.
But I'm ultra competitive, and I always feel like I always feel like I have something to prove. Mostly because what I do is ridiculous. Like, the fact that I just draw stupid shit for big companies and they say okay.
Yeah.
Like, how long could that possibly last?
You know what I mean? And the check clears.
And the, yeah, right. Yeah. Like, how long could that last? You know, like, I always feel like I'm up against some kind of competitive thing. Like,
are you just waiting for the shoe to drop and it's not to work anymore?
Absolutely. And, which is why I keep trying to expand and do different things. Like, I just produced my first commercial this year.
Oh, that's
cool. Know, like, I wrote a treatment, I found the director, I figured out all the music and all that type of stuff. Like, get into more bigger stuff where I can, you know, spread my wings, and it's not so easy to just rip off, you know, do like bigger, better things.
Is that a, you know, we've talked about it a lot, so is that a big concern of yours, or were you just making a bigger deal out of the people ripping your shit off?
I don't know. I'm not concerned with the people ripping me off. I'm concerned with the people ripping me off watering down everything that people like me do.
Right.
So, like
that's fair.
The fact that, like, lettering is a thing now is ridiculous. Like, why? Like, it's just a design element, you know? Like, it's just an element of a broader thing. Like, lettering in itself makes sense, like, 1% of the time. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it should be involved in a bigger idea. You know, it needs a context to live in. Like, you fucking sit there and draw letters all you want. Like, so what? Who cares? You know, like, make it part of something so that it's usable.
Yeah.
You know?
Instead of decoration.
Yeah, right. Otherwise, just be an artist.
Don't
worry about being a designer and doing things, you know, from like communication purposes. Just do, you know, whatever. Just
make shit.
Yeah.
this is another question. John Contino Studio. Now, do you actually have people working in the studio, or do you just say that so you sound bigger like everybody else does?
The reason it's John Contino Studio now is because I do work with other people.
Okay.
So I have my business manager. I have a few people that do stuff like video, photography, web stuff, like things like that, that I can't or don't want to do.
Yeah.
So it's a bigger thing. And eventually, over the next year or two, hopefully it'll grow and just, because the way that I work, man, I'll do the amount of work that one person will do in 1 year, I'll do two of those in 1 year. Right. So like, I'll work like 600 days a year because I'll get up and I'll work most of the day, stop and be like a normal person for like a very little bit. And then once everybody goes to bed, do another full day.
Wait, how much of a little bit are you being a normal person?
Never. My wife said never.
Well, is it, that's the thing. Is it hard to be like connected with family and having a kid and all that stuff when you're like so driven and feel like you have so much to prove?
Well, that's the other thing about moving out of the city is that I built a studio up there and it's attached to the house. So when they want to see me, they just come in and, you know, my daughter comes in, "Daddy, watch me do this." And like plays the harmonica and dances around the circle, you know? So I'm not like if I was working in a studio or an agency or something, I don't know what kind of family life I'd have because I'd never be around.
Right.
You know? So that's part of the reason why I moved is so I could be home more. And it's easier to get away that way.
Do you take vacations?
I just started to. Yeah, I just started to. My first vacation.
Wait, I'm checking with your wife. Does he actually take vacations?
Well, we went on vacation last year and I worked, so.
Come on, man. You don't have to do it.
I brought a laptop and a scanner like this big.
I'm gonna tell you, the work will be there when you get back.
You like to say that, but you never know, man.
Well, if not, all right. If the next time you go on vacation and you come back and you don't have a project to pay the bills, I'll hire you to do something. Don't work on vacation. I will make up something to hire you to do.
I mean, I'm the type of person where I'm always going to work and always find something.
Yeah.
But the fact that, like, this whole thing feels very, like, it feels like, to me, it feels like I got lucky.
Yeah.
Even though I worked my ass off for so long to get here, it still feels like I got lucky. And I just feel like being lucky means that you're not going to be lucky, like, very quickly after that. Like, you're just not lucky all the time. And even though, like, it's really not. It's hard work,
yeah,
but it still feels like it's like I feel fortunate to be able to do what I love.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been in the place where I was doing things that I loved and then it was taken away. I've been there before, so I know what it feels like.
Yeah.
And I don't want that to happen again. So everything that I do, anytime I think about that time, I just like elevate like another like 1,000% because I just don't want to be there ever again.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, what got taken away?
Well, when I was running a studio, which was a studio with multiple people, in the mid-2000s, we were doing a lot of streetwear stuff, and we had a few retainers and stuff, and the recession hit, and two of our main retainers that kept the bills being paid and salaries being paid, they closed. And then all of a sudden, we had all the fun projects left, which was like $100 here, $200 there, like that's not paying anything, you know? And then it was just like, we had to figure out a way. How do you, because at that point, we weren't hustling. We weren't doing anything. We were working like 9 to 5. Yeah. And then go home and relax and watch like a marathon of Lost or something. And then, you know, yeah, like it just yeah. like, and then it was gone. And then I didn't have my money. I didn't have my work. I didn't have anything.
Yeah. And were you single then?
No. So no, we were engaged.
You're engaged, but you didn't have a kid.
No.
And
no,
mortgage.
Thank God.
So do you think all that stuff just adds that pressure?
Yes, it does. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's one of those things too, where it's like, when it got at its worst, I remember going on Craigslist, just trying to get whatever jobs, and everyone was like, no, thanks. And I was like, this sucks, man. Like, this sucks. It really sucks. And like, I can't do anything. If I can't get a job off of Craigslist for like $100, like splash page, like I'm screwed, man.
So wait, if you can't do design, at all, and do you have any other marketable skills?
Nope.
Okay.
Okay,
good.
No, I can. I'll always do something.
All right.
Yeah, I'll always do something. My dad's a contractor, and when I was younger, I used to work with him. I did construction for years and did, you know, design as part time. Yeah. And we always just kind of, that was one of those things. I think my dad always thought that I would join the company and we would make it a big thing, family company, whatever.
Yeah.
I could always do that. You know, my dad's getting older now and he,
you feel any obligation to do that?
No, cause my dad had a tough upbringing and, I think he's just happy that I get to do what I love.
Yeah.
So whatever it is, like he never made me feel like I have to do that, you
that's
know.
Nice.
So it's always just like you know.
I feel like a lot of kids feel that pressure.
No, that's the pressure I never had.
That's good.
I never had that pressure of like you have to do this kind of guilty thing. It was always, they were always very open about letting me be a creative person and just following what I want. And maybe it's because I'm a very determined person, and they can tell that.
Yeah.
You know, because I always
even if they told you what to do, you'd be like, yeah, fuck off.
Yeah, kind of like I still did what I did, you know, and I was always going to do what I do.
Yeah.
So I think that could have something to do with it. But my parents are always really good about it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you have, you know, I think a lot of us and maybe you're someone too, like it's when you don't know the work's going to keep coming, do you have a hard time saying no to stuff?
Well, I have a hard time saying no to stuff even when the work is coming.
Yeah.
Like, the past couple of years, like, I'm not going to say no to IBM. I'm not going to say no to Arby's. I'm not going to say no to AT&T. I'm not going to say no to Nike. I'm not going to say no to Anthropology or American Eagle or whatever. Yeah. And if they all happen to come at the same time, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And I'll figure out a way to do it.
But how about when it's maybe not the right project? Like, what's the filter that you put things through and be like, yeah, that's not right for my brand or me or
it's like, very rarely not the right project.
Really? You adapt. You make it happen.
I'll make it
or
work.
Or is it because you're so known for a style that people are coming to you, like, asking specifically for that, so you don't have to say, oh, actually, that's not what I do or whatever?
In the past 5 years, I think I've had to say that's not what I do maybe, like, 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's social networking or whatever, but people identify me with that.
Yeah.
So if they're coming to me, they know what they're getting. And if it's a little bit, you know, left of center of what I normally do, I'll bring it back to center. Because, like, I've been doing this so long, I'll just talk them into it.
Yeah.
And it'll work.
But is there something where people are asking you to do something that's a little left of center, but might be good to maybe as a challenge or a way to push
and I'll take
your
style
and Absolutely. Stuff?
Absolutely. I'll do that without a doubt, because you got to grow somehow.
Yeah.
And when you're doing, like, constant corporate, you don't have the time to grow because you're just doing what people are telling you to do.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's the worst thing in the world because they're telling you to be yourself.
Yeah.
But, like, it's still not allowing that time to go off and do crazy stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Does it get boring doing that over and over again?
Yes and no. Okay. Like, it's boring because you're like, oh, I wish I could be doing this. I wish I could be doing that. But at the same time, I'm still doing, like, crazy stuff for big clients that are allowing me to do that. So how bad could it be?
What, you know? What haven't you done that you want to do?
Nothing really.
Like, would you want to just like, let me do a huge fucking sculpture, or let me design a motorcycle, or let me.
I
asked you at one point, you were like, there's no full time job you would take. I'm like, how about creative director for the Yankees? You're like, oh, maybe that one.
Yeah. it's really tough to say, because I have really worked so hard to be able to get where I am. Like, so hard. And I've tried so hard. And I've just like, every time I felt like I was getting beaten down, I would just keep getting back up. And I just really wanted to get there. And a lot of the stuff I've done, it feels like I've reached a certain point, you know? So what I'm doing right now is fine. I know that there's other things out there for me. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure that out, like getting into like producing that commercial.
Yeah.
Like maybe
you
it's,
haven't done before.
Maybe it's more of that. I don't know. Maybe it's more motion. Maybe it's more just being a director of something, you know? Like, I don't know. What I do now, I know how to do it.
Yeah.
So whatever's out there for me, I don't know, but I'm open to trying new things and being more well-rounded.
Do you collaborate with people very often? Like other creatives?
I've been doing it more recently. I mean, the video, for instance, that was a big collaboration. You know, like it's a little hard to let go because I'm a total control freak. Like I did a job for MTV, and it was like a commercial job, and I was working with an animator. I probably wouldn't have picked him because I didn't think our stuff meshed, but we kind of got put together, and our stuff didn't mesh. And it became one of the most stressful jobs I've ever worked on because I was working on a bunch of other stuff, too, at the same time. And I took it because I was like, squeeze it in. No big deal.
Yeah.
But it became so stressful. And, like, my ideas for the commercial ended up being, like, more of what they were looking for, which is probably why they came to me.
Yeah.
And I was just more leaning on the animator because I just had so much other stuff going on where the collaboration was just not working. So by the end, I was like, cool, send it. I don't care. Yeah. And they didn't pick it.
Right.
And they ended up going with just like regular MTV branded stuff anyway. So even if they picked mine, maybe it wasn't going to get used anyway.
Do you have stuff like with friends of yours that are, you know, your few friends that you'd want to collaborate with?
All the time. I mean,
we got to make time for that.
Yeah, rarely gets to happen. There's always people where I'm just like, God, we got to do something together. It's like, when do you want to do it? It's like, well, I'm booked up for March, April, and May.
Yeah.
How about June? Can't do June. How about July? You want to do July? How about next July?
Wait, that should be that should be the conference we do. We should do something together conference. And everybody just comes for like a weekend
and does something,
and you just do shit with your friends.
That's a good idea.
It's like an excuse. Claire, write it down. All right, cool. Just like an excuse for people to like collaborate with each other.
It's a good idea. I like it.
I have a few more questions. What's your biggest regret?
My biggest regret? No regrets, man.
Okay, good. What's your biggest insecurity?
Fucking everything.
All right, that's a fair answer. Biggest frustrations?
Everything is frustrating, man. Like, the world is frustrating. Okay. People suck. Everything sucks about them. Yeah. You know? Like, the fact that we sit here
people
in a bar
talking
about, like, design, and like, oh, this is so fun, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, there's ISIS, there's Trump, there's there's, like, all these, you know? Like, everything sucks.
But this is why we keep going. Like, and people that don't suck.
Right, but then this is what happens. We're all here, and we're not sucking, right?
Yeah.
We're all not sucking.
Yeah.
And then we walk out that door, and then everything sucks again. Sucking out there now.
It is sucking. I'm gonna play your therapist. There's other groups of people that are also not sucking at the same
time. In other doors?
In other doors. I just have hope that you'll run across those people.
Right, I don't see them.
Yeah, because you're alone by yourself in a studio like a hermit. All right. What's your Achilles? I feel like I gotta bill you for this therapy. What's your Achilles heel as a creative?
Explain.
Like, what's the one thing that, like, just like you can't do? Like,
that I can't?
Or that, like,
so
takes
much.
You down, yeah. Like, are you actually terrible at typography?
No. Okay. That's what I wanted to be, man. Like,
okay.
I wanted to be, like, a typographer. I wanted to design fonts and stuff. And then, you know, like, I learned more about lettering, and I was like, this is way more fun.
Okay.
So I just started doing that, but that's where I was headed originally.
Okay.
What am I really bad at?
Portraits.
Yeah,
portraits, okay.
Yeah, I'm not good at
portraits.
Did
people ask you to do that? Because you're good at, like, illustrating other shit. Yeah.
I mean, I can do portraits kind of, like, if they're kind of like a cartoon and maybe they're from, like, 1981.
Yeah, okay.
You know, like...
Wait, you only draw guys with mustaches?
Yeah. I can't draw upper lips.
No, it's kind of a mustache hanging over. It's the mustache and then that little line for the bottom.
I suck at drawing girls. Can't draw girls.
Really?
Can't draw girls. I took, like, 17,000 figure drawing classes.
Yeah.
And I just can't draw girls. Like, I sit there and I try to, like, mimic tattoo flash. I try to, like, do all these, like, pin-up styles and stuff. I can't do it. Suck at it.
I love that you're just trying to draw boobs over and over again.
The boobs I can get right.
Okay. It's everything else. Okay. Are there any ways that you self-sabotage?
The only thing I would probably self-sabotage is, like, the rest of my life. You know, because I'm just, like, so focused on, like, working and, like, becoming better and creating, like, this big thing. Because part of this is that I want to create something that will live on so that I can maybe actually start taking a break as I get older and be around my family more and not have to worry about, like, there not being Social Security and like, eating cat food until, like, from the time I'm, like, 60 to, like, 95 or something.
Well, you know? Maybe there's something in, like, having a studio and having people work for you so then you can just creative direct and have them making stuff.
That's the idea.
All right,
we'll
cool.
see if I can let go, though, and make that happen. I can't,
I
like,
feel like you got it.
People say that to me all the time. Like, why don't you get somebody who does what you do? I said, no, because then they'll copy me and then they'll fucking leave and take all my work.
That's amazing. all right, a few more. Who makes you jealous?
I get envious of people who do cool stuff, but everyone does their own thing and everyone has their own skill set, and I think being jealous is a waste of time. You know, I definitely see when people do stuff that I really like,
yeah,
like, oh man, I wish I did that, or I wish I thought of that. But that's it, man. Like, when
but
it comes
that's a
to,
good feeling. That's,
yeah, yeah, like it gives me something to aspire to.
Yeah.
If I just sat there and I was like, I gotta be that person. That's who I gotta be.
Yeah. No, then you're not being you.
Not me. Yeah.
Who's your nemesis? Do you have someone?
I feel like I used to have like various nemeses, uh-huh. But as things developed and we all developed our different styles, for a while, jobs were always me or Jessica Hish.
Uh-huh.
Because we were like...
Which you're similar, but very, very different.
Well, a while, like years ago, it was just like, these are the two people we know that can draw a letter.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll put you guys together and you're always up for the same job. But we really took a fork, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, you guys
so
are so different.
We never have like jobs, competing jobs, like again, and it's just like the only things that the only people that really piss me off at this point is just like these annoying little kids that just like keep stealing shit from me.
Uh-huh.
You know, like I don't know how to handle that. Like fly swatter, I don't know. Like,
just cut the shit, kid.
Yeah.
All right, couple more questions. Are you afraid you've peaked?
No way. No way. Because no, because I'm just like,
it's a real question.
I'm so like, I work against myself so much. Like, I feel like I'm on the second rung of a ladder right now. Like, I feel like I have so much more to accomplish. I just have to, like, it's like a ladder into the dark for me. I just have to, like, climb one rung at a time and just see, like, what.
Yeah.
If I peaked, then I would feel like I don't have any more ideas.
Yeah.
I don't want to do anything. What am I going to do? Like, if I can't do this, what am I going to do? I don't feel like that.
Okay.
No way.
Good. You're too young to peak. So, okay. what is success to you?
Just being happy. Just if you can do something that you like and you can be happy with it, that's what can you ask for?
My next question was, are you happy?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, absolutely. I love my life. I love my family. I love what I do. I live in the best place in the world.
Yeah.
Like, how much better could it get, you know?
I agree. If you had to give your younger self one piece of advice, what would it be?
And do exactly what you're doing.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because I think that all the stupid things that I did and all the choices I made because I was maybe scared or nervous about something, and then I had to find alternate means to get those things done, made me the type of person that I am today.
Yeah.
If I was just like, I'm going to go to Parsons or SVA or RISD, and then I'm going to get an internship at this place, and then they're going to hire me on the spot. Like, I feel like for me, that wouldn't have made me who I am, you know? I needed to work in Long Island for financial planners and do business cards for landscapers and then find out how to work my way into the music industry. And then that collapsed on itself. So how do I turn that into something else?
Yeah.
You know? And just like the constant like hustle against I'm like the guy like running out of the collapsing tunnel, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like I'm just like, I could have just taken the bridge, you know? But like, I gotta be in there and just like in the middle of all this craziness in order for me to like, I'm always the person who, when you bring a job to me, like we have this campaign that needs to be done next Tuesday. It's normally takes a whole agency 2 months to do it. Can you do it in 3.5 days? Like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
Like I need the pressure. Like I thrive on pressure, you know? And that's what I need. If I didn't have that, I wouldn't be who I am.
Yeah, that's amazing. And the last thing, how are you feeling right now?
Yeah.
Wait, I'm going to put this back on. Yeah. All right, that's it. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you.
Thanks to all the members who came out that day, and also to you for listening on this little podcast. To read more about this episode, check out freerange.workingnotworking.com, and to learn more about how to join Working Not Working, go to workingnotworking.com. You can follow us at WNotW and tweet us questions with the hashtag WNWOvershare. Anyway, that's it for today's episode. Thanks for coming, and see you next time.